All right, so this one has been kicking around the internet for a while, Jason. But would you rather watch every single sexual encounter you ever had with your parents, or
Wait. There's an or? Like, I'll take the or. I'm already going with the or. It doesn't matter. What is it?
you have to watch your parents have sex the night you were conceived?
All right, what the hell is this? What is this? I've never seen this on the internet. You're a sick, twisted son of a bitch. It's 2022. I thought we're out to start off fresh, but this is just so okay. Hold on. I sit with my parents, my biological parents, if those are the two that brought me up, and they watch me doing
Imagine
everything.
you show up and there's a different mom or dad. You're like,
Hey, never
oh.
know. And then, or I watch them. By
Yeah.
myself?
But like that's all you have to watch. No. With them as well. Actually, you know what?
Oh,
You know what? No,
Jesus Christ.
no. You're just gonna watch that by yourself.
This is so messed up. This is bizarre. But I guess I'd have them watch me.
See, that would be my answer because it wouldn't be that long.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
Pop culture.
that they like, and they'll the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
To the pop culture pile driver, get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. Can be followed along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. Our little podcasty show has a Twitter profile at Pop Culture PD. It's Pop Culture PD. We're not the police, but damn, we only had so many characters. And if you hit that follow button, it'll instantly get you back to where you once belonged and where you want to be. With me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along most social media platforms at Billy D 2411, but he is the bad boy of Twitter, putting up that naughty, naughty content throughout the years. So he gets tossed off. So he's Billy Yee on Twitter. He can be followed along his OnlyFans, which, by the way, Bill, fun fact about OnlyFans, originally started by people that were like do-it-yourselfers.
Porn
Like, if you
people?
learn how to like plumb or learn how to
Oh.
clean things, that's what OnlyFans started because it was people who had popular channels or businesses say, hey, we're going to create this thing. And then it turned into a lot of adult workers like yourself started dipping their toes in mayonnaise. And if you want to see all that nastiness, you can get it for the low, low price of just 22 cents for the month of January if you
Whoa.
use New Year, same Billy's Big D. That's New Year, same Billy's Big D. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Did you know actually there was a math teacher who put his lessons on Pornhub and made like a fortune because like he knew that's where his audience would be, teenage people. And he put them up there and like you get paid if you're on Pornhub apparently. So he made like a killing by posting math videos.
Okay, you're in a bad place today. But
What?
so
That is a story.
earlier you're asking me what I with parents and this ex and stuff, and now we're going into freaking Pornhub.
I'm a single
But
guy. What are you gonna do?
that's true. Do you think, Bill? I ain't judging you. So was it just math content though?
Yeah, I think so. They used to regular math teachers just posting straight up math content.
So could I just post like this podcast on Pornhub?
Yeah, people watch, man. People are watching.
All right, listen, you're giving me ideas, you're giving me ideas. Bill, since we last spoke, we've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, it is 2022. I believe what, oh, this is the third year technically of Pop Culture Pile Driver in year form. This is our fourth year of podcasting together.
Sure.
I think
Fourth at
2007,
least. Fourth at least.
2007, so it might be five. Four definitely, but it might be five. But either way.
I was thinking, how I dip my toes in the mayonnaise.
Yeah, sure do.
I mean, we should. I think I might be getting back into wrestling a little bit, so we can start
Bill.
dipping our toes maybe once a month in wrestling content.
Ooh, baby. I told you there's going to be more content. I have a couple of written ideas. I will let you know, a little spoiler ahead, there'll be a Rossi Wrestling Roundtable. I want to try to do something with 2 to 3 other people per week, just talking about the topics, having some fun, shooting the breeze on the Twitter machine, maybe post it on some podcasts here. Love to have you on. You don't have to be like, we talked about this before. They'll be doing it. I'm going to try to do some stuff this week. I've been talking with Geeks Worldwide, who you get a lot of the content with, TLDR. Fire. Yeah, changed my mind to stuff on there. They get retweeted. But yeah, so I'm going to be working. I'm writing some stuff up for them. I dipped my toe a little bit last year, like you and the mayonnaise. But come on back, man. It was a wild weekend for wrestling, I'll be honest.
I saw it. It got me a little jazzed.
It's the first time in a long time I can honestly say watching a WWE product, I don't know where they're going in a good way.
Well, yeah, that's always what you want. You want the booking where who's going to win. You don't know? Yep. That's good booking.
And where are we going? Like, how are we going to get there? I think it's really important. I will just say one thing, just quick aside when it comes to wrestling. I did get a very interesting survey sent to me asking about WrestleMania 38, which would be the one in Dallas. We talked about going to a little while back. Well, hear me out, though. You can tell they're struggling right now. 2 nights. In Dallas, not sold out, not even close. Travel packages, by the way, still available. So I think pandemic or C word. I don't know if that pulls you off the internet. I didn't say Omicron. Omicron. I think that's also leading to it. But they asked some interesting questions like, what would lead you to purchase? Is it price? Is it like knowing matches? Is there a lot of stuff?
So price.
I said price and matches. Price. Like, I think they need to get in the business of like,
no, I would see Hurricane Helms face, who was the guy with Zach Gowen for the right price.
Well, yeah, you could see that at Everett Rec if you want, Bill, for like $15. But I just think if they started to like do slight announcements or built around things, but that's beside.
Give me a good price, I'm in. I'm a deal guy.
Bill's just a whore. Through. The cheaper, the better. That's right up my alley. Don't get me wrong. Anywho, Bill, but it's been a while since we've been back together. Again, New Year.
2 weeks.
Did you? Well, I meant like it's been just year. The year has passed.
True.
First question: New Year's Eve, did you smooch anybody?
I think I fell asleep on my couch by myself at like 11:30. I got woken up to a FaceTime by some friends, none of the ones you know, which was kind of nice. Not nice, but I was like, my friends I've known the longest don't care. But I did a shot with them around midnight. That was nice. Then I went to bed. So no smooches on New Year's Eve.
You once mentioned, you also said, and I think this is off podcast, but I'm asking anyways because I need to know. You went on a donut date, Bill.
No, I did not.
Oh, didn't happen?
They bagged out.
I didn't go on
another better donut date, but not that one.
You went on a donut date.
Eventually, yes.
So what is a donut date?
You get donuts. Then you hang up.
So you just went to like a coffee shop place and just sat there and ate donuts.
No, this one was a little different. We'll keep it private.
That means it's a good one. That means that's a good story. It's when they don't share it on a podcast that gets listened to, you know, it's good stuff. But our music, by the way, is brought to you by Oh Yeah. Are we expecting big things from 2022 from Oh Yeah, Bill?
Yes. I mean, they were nominated for the local artist of the year.
Nice.
They did not win. They should have.
That's okay.
I heard the band that won.
Whatever. It's local musical.
But I would go check out their latest hit, and it is a whammer. It is Lower Than You, and that is Oh Yeah, O-H-Y-A-H, period, on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
They are my fourth most listened to band on my Spotify recap, which I know a lot of people don't want to see. But that's all I want to see from you is what music you like, and then I think I have a fair gauge on the kind of person you are.
Not me anymore. So Amazon had their own version. I didn't bother posting it. I got a kid, dude. There was tons of Nightmare Before Christmas is cranking in this house.
Well, that's your identity, though. You're a guy with a kid.
Okay, good point. So it was, just so you know, my most listened to artists were the soundtrack from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's actually called The People of Halloween Town, Dua Lipa. The Beatles came on real strong because when we talked about this podcast we're going to get into, I listened to so much Beatles. And there was like Outkast, because we did an Outkast podcast early in the year. So like when I get into something, I just crank. And WWE always is on there.
Oh, I mean, I will go at the gym. I'd say out of the days, like say there's, you know, 5 days I work out over a given time. Three of them are just straight WWE cranking into the gym. I usually do Shinsuke on the row machine.
Oh, I never thought of that.
One. It's a good one.
I usually, when I need a final, when I know it's going to be a heavy set and I need a final finish, I go Seth Rollins because it's just so, and I don't even, sometimes I don't even need to burn it down. I sometimes go original.
Yeah, I have the original. You know, it's a pretty good one. And our guy, Take a Drink, haven't mentioned it in a while, from the Jobber Knocker, JC. Dean Ambrose's WWE one to like walk into the gym tube.
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned that before.
That's a good one.
This time last year, we did podcasts on the best of the decades.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So maybe the podcast, when did we? It doesn't matter. But we definitely did that last year. And I will say, like, crush those. The production value was horrible because we were playing things on our cell phones. And that might have been 2 years ago then.
Oh, that was because 2020. That was a good pandemic.
But dude, I just felt like we were
even
in 2020.
Had a pandemic for almost two full years coming to March.
I was talking about this with my wife before the podcast because obviously you used to come to my house and record it. And we were talking because that one was in my, you know, what's now my son's room, formerly an office. And it's funny because I think one of the last ones we did was, I remember it was the previous season of Curb was just coming out in like March of 2020.
Oh, yeah, I watched like half an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, this is wild. Anyways.
Family was over. JJ was like,
yeah, I remember that. Like my dad and his girlfriend were there. That was, I think, one of the last, if not the last times we actually recorded in person.
Yeah. It might have been me last. Cause I think the next time I was like, I don't know. I've been on the road for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were going to Chicago. Yeah. You were going to Chicago. And that's when we tested out because we did them. I don't think it was StreamYard right away. I think
something else.
Anyways, but we are here now. We're having some fun. We're having a blast and still kicking. Hope everyone has had a happy, safe new year. Appreciate the subscription. Check us out again across all social media platforms. Find us. Tell a friend, be a friend about the show. We're going to try to bump out as much content as possible. We just talked a little wrestling stuff. We'll keep Pop Culture Pile Drive. We'll keep rocking and doing its various topics. But today we are talking about the Beatles. We talked about this one a while back. We have two podcasts I think we're going to try to put together this month that we've had a long time talking about. The video game one,
I think, is
a
smash success.
Yeah, I think that we have like a quarterly idea. We'll talk about it towards the end. Big market tease. We'll also get into some other stuff. But when it comes to the Beatles, to me, I grew up on the Beatles. The Beatles were a major part of my life. My dad is like a diehard Beatles fan, was buying the records when they were released, remembers them playing Ed Sullivan, remembers everything. So I grew up so many stories. I went on baseball trips with them every year. We listened to basically either a couple of Springsteen albums or just Beatles on loop. I would fall asleep in the car, fall asleep to the Beatles, wake up to the Beatles. I love them. I think they're honestly, I've said this. The only comparison I can make is the Beatles are like pizza. There's something for everyone. Even if you don't like cheese, have it
except
with
Chime.
I don't believe him. I don't believe he doesn't like them. I will say like he thinks they're overrated potentially, which if you're younger.
He literally said the Beatles are trash or something like that.
But I don't even take him seriously. Like I can't. That guy is built for the Beatles. He's like a jolly smile, happy-go-lucky, has real feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Has a serious
and with the music that he likes. I know Davey picked on him a little bit. And by the way, in whatever ending segment, I have a huge bone to pick with Davey.
Don't blame
Mega.
Him.
We'll get there. But Shime should like the Beatles. Like of all the stuff that he likes, it kind of falls right into that like genre.
I still think
One or two people to the Beatles who were younger than Shime, probably Shime's age now, actually, where I said, listen to them. Like, if they were like music people, but they're like, I hate the Beatles. I hate like old, you know, like Jeff Beck sucks, like all those, like, you know,
I get it.
Like, but like, eventually they came around, they were like, oh no, like, actually, you're right. Cause I don't think they realize they have, I don't think anybody like who's of a certain age thinks of the Beatles and thinks like, oh, Helter Skelter is the Beatles. Like you play them that and like it's not a rock song that would like stand up to today standards, but it's a rock song that like if you had never heard the Beatles or like you only know like the She Loves Me, like you only know that kind of Beatles stuff, you wouldn't think they could pull off. You know what I mean? Like they had so many different, and this is what I found out kind of through like the exploration of my life in music, like listening to music, is I like bands that you can hear 20 songs from them. They all sound different, but they all sound like that artist, as weird as that sounds. I think that's a thing. Like I like Kanye, I like Outkast, I like the White Stripes. I like Franz Ferdinand, where they have songs that are different tempos, genre-esques, but you still know it's uniquely them.
I completely agree with you. I think, you know, another band. So back in the old radio days, when I used to interview, I interviewed Tom Chaplin of Keane.
I absolutely love Keane.
But Keane did this thing where they start off as a piano, like no guitar. Then they brought in guitars. Then they went electro. Then they went all different places. He's done solo albums. But when I interviewed him, they put out a very poppy, like in your face, very like, I think it was 2010, 2011. Like that time, if you listen alternative to rock radio with quotations.
FNX.
They were fitting what was happening. And I remember asking him and he said, I'm a person just like anybody else. I change all the time. Yeah. My music, I don't want to play the same music album in, album out, album in. And he said, every album we create is a chapter in our book. And he thinks all artists are like that. That was a quote I heard later. I didn't interview this person, but Chris Martin talked a lot about that because Coldplay's made a lot of changes, whether you like him or not. I prefer early Coldplay, but like I listened to him and he's like, this is what we wanted to do as a band. Music is an expression of artwork. Like when you see an artist, they don't draw the same painting over and over again or do blue in one corner, orange in the other, and they just rotate it. They talk a lot about this. And I think it's hard for me because I'm a stubborn fan of music. Like I want music I want. Like when my bands are going to release music, I already have an idea. But I think to sum this all up, like the Beatles took that and made this all like years in the beginning, the origins of rock music. Like they were the ones that said, we're going to just mess with everything. Like there's times we're going to just be off the wall, crazy, drug inspired. And other times we're going to sit down and write the most wholesome, loving songs solo. And that's the other big part. There are four pieces of the band and you know, all four and all four could carry the band at one point if they need to. I know you could say we want about Ringo, but realistically, if John lost his voice, Ringo or George would step in and then Ringo would step in. It's the band. It's incredible.
Yeah. And to that point a little bit, and then we'll get into the dirty deeds here. But so I remember when Jack White put out his first solo album, I was psyched because, you know, I like Meg White. I think she's great. But like Jack White was the, you know, kind of the crux of it, if you will, for the most.
The
like,
face. He was the face of the White Stripes, the voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you knew Meg White and she was a great drummer. But, you know, I was like, all right, Jack White. And then like all he did was play the piano for like 9 out of the 11 songs. And I was pissed. The greatest guitarist in the world
was that
fucking
that
play 16, the guitar.
What was that stupid song you really? It was like 16 something
crackers or something.
Oh god, I hated that song.
It wasn't like I that song it. I didn't like, but I grew more appreciation for the album as it went on. But
absolutely.
I was like, because that's probably what he's been wanting to do, but he was given like so like now I have a greater appreciation for, you know, an artist and like because like when I edit, I'm not saying it's even the same stratosphere. But I try to switch it up because you don't want to give people the same thing. Like I can go to my bread and butter when I need to give you a montage,
slap
like
it.
So knock your socks off. But I like to try when I can to be as creative as I can, because I feel like that's what separates great artists is the ability to transform and do different things.
I agree with it, Bill. I think that's exactly it. And that's what the Beatles set standard for 1966.
Because they started essentially as today, like any boy band today, and they are known by many besides Shine as the greatest band of all time, the transformed music.
They are. I'm always open to listen to people, but they're the greatest band because they did so much at a certain time. And like I just said, four pieces. And if you want to play the whole Ringo card, three legit lead singers in like creative writing credits and everything. It's just, and the two best songwriters of all time that can encapsulate things. And these guys were freaking 18.
And 19. They were heartthrobs. And when you really look at them, they're all kind of homely.
Yeah, they're British. All right, Bill, that will kick us off here. So we are going to do a playlist. The rules are as follows. As you know, with the Pop Culture Pile Driver,
we don't have rules. I'm kidding.
That's the first rule. That's the first rule. No,
there are rules. No rules.
We don't really abide by them. We go by the podcaster's dozen. That is the number 11. So we will each go ping back and forth for 11 song playlists. And then you tell us who has the best playlist. And guess what? You win either way. This isn't like all the other playlists where it's like a gym or a Christmas or a mood or a summertime. This is literally the best. And there'll be no duplications. Draft style. So Bill, I will let you choose if you want to go first and then I get to, or you want me to go first.
No, you choose. I chose last time. I'm so deferring.
There's only one song I'm worried you're going to take that I think I would take. Yep. And there's one song I know you'll take that I don't have one any part in, but I would just take to spite you.
I know.
So I'm not going to do it. So I will go first. You get the next two. I'm going to go with, and this is way down on my list. I created this in a format of the way the songs would play this, but I'm not, I usually think I know
what you're going to take too.
I usually stick to my songs and go right down the order, but this one I have to jump because I think it's an essential song. It's not their song, but nobody performs it better than them. They made it famous. It has been famous in movies. I will take Twist and Shout with my first pick.
I was going to take that at some point.
Just so you know, it was my number 9 track on this playlist.
I mean, Shake It Up, Baby. I mean, when it comes on at a wedding, I go absolutely insane. Well,
I think that's the thing. It's almost like beyond the Beatles at this point, because that song is, you know, a party anthem. I know that sounds weird in these days, but it really is. Every wedding, you're going to hear it in some form. But the Beatles took this song, drove it to 11, just like this podcast, and made it there. So this is a home run song. I think, were you there the night we sang this in karaoke?
That might have been the night where I was pouring the scorpion bowls on the floor because I was afraid because one of you guys was driving me home.
No, that's a different night. That was a different night. That was a whole different night. That's a whole different situation.
So I was probably there, but I was hammered.
We were doing it at that place on like near Comet.
Hong Kong.
No, this was not a Hong Kong night. This was at that place. It was for someone's birthday.
So it was the Kinsale?
No, it wasn't the Kinsale.
Foggy Goggle? I have no idea.
No, it's I don't even know if they serve alcohol. I think it's one of those weird places, but it's just.
Limelight.
Limelight, yes. Yeah. Yes. Were you there? Were you on stage with us? There's pictures somewhere.
I don't think I ever did karaoke with you at Limelight.
Okay. Well, there was a night and there was a bunch of us on there. I stole the show, of course, and I rocked it and got booed. So you get two picks here, Bill. Be smart. I will not take your song.
All right. So.
Maybe.
All right, so I got to eliminate that from the list. So I'm going to go with a song that I think you will eventually take. Because, this is one you could win because you actually like the Beatles. So I'm going to go – it's not one of their best ones, but it's one of my favorites. I'm going to go with Back in the USSR because I just love that song.
Dude, that song kicks ass. It's California Girls that they wrote. The Beach Boys made that song. John Lennon said, I want a version of that. They figured out a way to do it. By the way, the USSR, this shows everything about the Beatles, Bill. It ain't a thing anymore. It's called Russia. It's like this song. I remember when I was a kid, I used to be like, what's the USSR? And my dad's like, oh boy, like there's so much. And this is in like the early 90s. But yeah, is a great, great pop song there by the Beatles. Don't worry.
I think I'll go Come Together.
Ooh, nice pick. Both songs not on my playlist, I'll be honest. I think those are both awesome. There's not a song you're probably going to pick. I'm going, oh, I wouldn't even touch that. Like, these are heavy hitters. Like, Come Together is again, another famous scene. If you've seen The Bronx Tale, amazing scene. And just an incredible guitar riff. Boom. And the drums. Oh, amazing song. And then that guitar solo, just unbelievable. I could nerd out this whole podcast. All right, my second pick. Do I just go? So I have two variables, and I only think there's one you're gonna take. I think I'm pretty clear on all my other songs, but I don't need to take this. I'll take it if you don't. So I will take. This is way off your board. You're not even going close to it. I'm just going to go back in order. This would be the kickoff of my playlist song. It is a Paul McCartney written, one of the best. Like, maybe the Beatles might be. I'm a big fan of crush songs. Like, when you have a crush on somebody and somebody illustrating that in words. And I think you're a fan of that as well. This song, I remember many times seeing somebody and going, oh, baby, a hubba hubba. And not like in that like winky winky dinky dinky style, like kind of like, oh, maybe this person's like a person I should talk to, a creature of habit. I will go with I've Just Seen a Face. This is like literally my Beatles playlist. These are gonna be like my favorite songs. You're coming off left field a lot of them, but this song, Paul McCartney, it's just and brilliantly written. And if you ever see like an Irish band cover it, it's perfect. Very, very like folky sounding.
All right. So solid pick. I'm going to go completely opposite here. I'm going to go early Beatles. One of my favorite songs is a great German version as well. I'm going to go with I Want to Hold Your Hand from I Believe Please Please Me.
Right? I believe so. Yeah. So it's there's like Meet the Beatles and Please Please Me had a lot of like, they're both like the original albums. Yeah,
they're about the same.
And like one was released in the UK previous, then Meet the Beatles was the US version. But yes, either way, the original song, the song that broke the Beatles into the US. And again, that talking like the last two songs about like, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Does it get any more innocent? Does it get any more like real though? Like when you're with somebody and you love them, like there's not a more compassionate way of proving that when you're just walking randomly down a hallway, down the corridor at the foyer.
I mean, it's just the way they just felt. I want to hold your hand. I mean, it's a beautiful song. And that is like, I've always loved iconic pop stuff. And I don't think it gets much more, especially for the time, iconic pop than this song.
I agree, Bill. This is like literally going to be like top hits versus complete like deep cut. Well, not there's no real deep cuts with the Beatles, but like, I'm like nerd.
I have one or two deep cuts.
We'll see. So I will go next. What would be my second song? I'm just going to go in my order until you take one, and then I might get mad. Actually, I'm worried about one song. I'm just going to take it here. I am worried about this one, and it's one of my favorite songs. So I'm going to jump because I don't think you're ever going to touch some of these others. I'm going to go with Here Comes the Sun. It's my fifth song in the playlist.
That's
the
only one.
That's the only one I'm really – there's one other I'm kind of worried, but it's a variable for me, or a variant. I guess we should start using that term more. We're splitting timelines here. But Here Comes the Sun, not a better song for, like, if you're a New England person or anybody who lives in cold weather, like, month of April hits, this song is an irregular because it's that time where the sun, the snow is still there, but and the sun makes you blinding out. But that song just – beautifully written. And if you're coming out of any dark time, anything that's made you sad or feel small or like crap, I always love playing this song because it's so light. It's not over the top bubblegum smart, like happy. It is just
it is, but it isn't. It doesn't matter. Like this song is, it's iconic Beatles. It's probably one of the few that you'd name maybe off the top of your head as like a casual Beatles fan. So it was definitely one of the ones because I'm a, you know, what is it? The Ones fan of the Beatles.
Yes. So, great album.
Yeah. I will kind of stick with that formula here.
Also a George Harrison song, which I'm a big fan.
I mean, we got to do the best music videos of all time so we can
George
Harrison number one.
Done.
But I'm going to go with from Sgt. Pepper's, which is probably one of my favorite albums of all time. I think it's my favorite Beatles album. Like it's a, well, what do they call these kind of albums?
Like a thematic album. Like
it's a thematic, but like there's a specific name I'm not gonna know.
You think about like what Green Day did with like American Idiot, where
yeah,
like
they assumed another role of Sgt. Pepper's because they couldn't create music currently as the Beatles, so they found another outlet. So to me, A Day in Life is one of the songs that this kind of songs I like, where it's a storytelling song. You know. It just has so much detail and grit to it. It's one of my favorite songs to listen to just in the course of a day, like that I can just put on at any time. I just really enjoy this song no matter the time, situation, or circumstance.
It's a perfect, you mentioned earlier, Franz Ferdinand's a band you really enjoy, as do I. And their first hit, Take Me Out, reminds me a lot of this song. They took inspiration from the song because the first like minute and a half is one style. Then we get a complete segue into a different style. And A Day in the Life perfectly does this as well.
So I think, and it's probably an overstatement, it's probably a hyperbole here, but I don't think many bands do that well. The complete drop, change in tempo. Franz Ferdinand does it a lot, does it well. And they were the first band that I was like, I don't want to say they're Beatles-esque, but they're a little bit like they're British or whatever they are. And like just the drop in tempo, the complete change in pace. It's very difficult to do. And I don't think many bands do it well. And I think that this is one of the best examples. And Franz Ferdinand, I think that's why I really like was drawn to them. That like change in direction and Take Me Out is Beatles-esque.
And it's one of
that guy's voice, by the way, is my favorite voice in music.
Oh, he's incredible. He's also named after like Paul McCartney or something. His middle name's Paul or something. I used to be too big into some of this stuff. All right, I'll jump
Alexander
into
Alexander Paul Carapas Huntley or something.
Something like that, right? Because I remember reading the story in Spin Magazine. I used to keep magazines as a former roommate of both.
Well, as we all know, I don't know if you've told anybody, but most of us know you worked in radio.
I did. Goddamn right. And I did a lot of cool things that nobody will ever know. All right. My next pick, I will take what will be the second song on my playlist. Just jumping in with songs again, probably won't be on yours. So this is one. I just love this again in that crush vibe. It won't be long. It's another one of those songs where you're vibing with somebody, you're feeling good, but it won't be long till you're in love with me. It's going to happen. And it's that confidence. I think the other thing that I loved about the Beatles music was they just had that great sound of either before a relationship, early dating, kind of dating. Like I can only imagine the music they make for like dating apps, but you get a lot of that vibe. But then you get the like, hey, this is going to work. And it's not going to take a long time either. I feel this is going to work. And I love that vibe. This song is just a great, great rhythm to it. Again, not one that's going to be, you know, played on like, I guess, classic radio or even like Beatles radio if you have like a Sirius XM, which I feel like that's the only way I listen to Beatles outside of streaming my own. But it's just such a great tune. It just smashing, hits you over the top, and just makes you smile. And that's why I love the Beatles.
All right. So I'm going to counter anything that you can do early here, and I'm going to take them with my fifth pick because I don't want you to steal it. And it's my favorite Beatles song.
I could have this whole time.
I know you could have. So I was waiting to get a couple ones that I knew. I didn't think you'd take it early. But I'm going to take Birthday from the White Album. And again, tempo change in this one. Masterful. Like, and people who make fun of me for this song, fine, whatever. Go and listen to it. The guitar riff in this is one of the greatest. Like it's an amazing guitar riff. And they wrote a viable song about being your birthday. That's the only one, that and like 50 Cent in the Club, and that's a small part of it. This whole thing is about your birthday. Like the tempo change, the drums, the guitar. This is, I mean, it's like, I would say this is like if you're going to like teach somebody how to like do everything the Beatles did, this is it. It's got everything. It's catchy. It's got a hook. It's got a guitar riff. It's got the tempo change. And like just the way all the instruments come together when it comes back up, I think it's like, it's just beautiful.
They are the only band to pull off a version that you could play for somebody if they don't like the song, even though it's the greatest song of all time, Happy Birthday. Mm-hmm. You could literally play this on radio. You could play this in a play, like without having to get trademarked in certain ways, obviously not on YouTube, but like on the radio, I could play that song before.
Just the building of the drums. This we're going to a private pod.
It's amazing the way they pull it off, the way the band comes together. Also, the White Album, as you know, it's everybody's doing their own song. Yeah. This is a McCartney song, but like all the little like way that they play with their voices, take a chance, like just fun, like so. And then just it sounds like a party when you're listening to the song. It sounds like you're at a roaring party. Like I heard this live, and I remember it was at Fenway show. Paul McCartney played it live at Fenway for somebody's birthday. And dude, it was everything I wanted and then some. So I wanted to steal this just to make you angry. I'm not in the mood tonight. So I'm happy you got it. And you're dead right. Like when we talked about doing a top 11, we'd be all over the place specifically because you probably have this as your number one. And it probably wouldn't crack mine. So amazing pick. I will take it the polar opposite direction and go with one of the more loving songs and a song that you know, a lot of people in weddings, you hear this a lot, again, with that wall of sound that you get from the Beatles in the later years with that whole one of the greatest piano riffs here in this one. I don't know who played the piano. It might actually been John, but I don't know for sure. But this is also when they were toying with like other guys in the band. Could have been, why can't I think of his name? The people that wanted to be the fifth Beatle will come to me, but I'm going with In My Life. Billy Preston. Exactly. And, you know, there was the fight. John wanted him in. Paul didn't. There was whole issues with that. But this guy was a piano genius at the time. I'm pretty sure it's him who plays it. But In My Life is just another just beautiful song. Well constructed. And absolutely love this one. It would be the third song on my playlist.
All right. So what can I go with here?
I'm getting nervous actually now.
All right. So I think I'm going to go. I think I have two that you'd want.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go with A Hard Day's Night.
Okay.
Just because, I don't know, I think it's classic Beatles, you know. I'm not doing
this. It's the best opening to a Beatles song.
It's good. And like, it's, you know, how relatable it is. It's been a hard day's night and I've been working. Like, it's just, to me, it seems like, I never saw the movie yesterday, but it's a brilliant idea for a movie.
That's a fun movie.
Is it really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's just a brilliant idea of like, I imagine none of these songs have ever been created and you get to create them for the first time and you get to make a song about having a shitty ass day at work. Like, that's a smash hit, especially the way it's written and constructed. It's a great song. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I know I'm taking basically from the Ones album, but they're Ones for a reason.
Yeah, they're this band crushed for a long time for a reason. I want to just say one thing that you brought up a couple times about like songs and like orchestrating an emotion or saying things. I think the Beatles did it simplistically, Bill. Mm-hmm. Now you listen to music, people have to be over dramatic. They have to swear. They have to be vulgar. They have to be angry. They have to be, you know, emotional, overly emotional. Like, people don't have the way of just writing songs like the Beatles did. And if that's simplistic, like every, it's like writing a book. They wrote books. They wrote really well-told stories. Now you have people over, like, the production of the songs too much, so you can't tell, like the Imagine Dragons, who I think have some great messages. You can't find it because the production on these songs are trashola. And they went from being a much simpler band. Like, go listen to It's Time. That song's awesome, by the Imagine Dragons. And, like, everything's right there. You feel it. You know it. Then, since then, they started going way over the top. But, like, Billie Eilish, who I really like. I really enjoy her music. Stuff is way over the top. Like, it's just everything
is. But I do. I think she. Some of her stuff is a little more simplistic. Yeah, no, yeah.
I agree. But I think production value in music today is it's more about the production than it is about like the actual lyrical content and just simplifying music around it. But that's what the Beatles bit were, and that's why I think they're great. And you just hit a perfect song with that. I'm gonna come back. You're not gonna take this song, so I'm gonna keep it. You're not. So I'm gonna go with what I've. I'm going to say it here now. I was going to save it till the end, but I'm a little worried you might take it somewhere. I don't think I've ever revealed what I believe is the best song ever written and my favorite song of all time. No hyperbole. So this you'll always hear me say this. I have favorites, but this is, I truly believe, the greatest written song of all time.
Is it a GB?
What?
Is the initials GB?
No. I believe it has the best message that I think we need to hear more than ever over, you know, now. I can just say that in the last 10 years since like social media became such a thing, because everything is like this side or that side. I don't agree. Don't at me. Don't talk with me. We're not going to have a conversation about it. Facts. This song is literally it. Fight Me. That's another one of my favorites. Fight Me.
I like that one.
Blah, blah, blah is the best. Fight Me. I know it's all satire, but my point here is
fuck you,
this song in 19. Yeah, we'll probably will. 19. Oh, I'm never fighting you because I'll die. Mm-hmm. Unless I want to die, which maybe one day I will, but not right now. I'm having a good time. 2022 is going to be the best year ever, man. New year, new me. So I will take We Can Work It Out.
No, you've said this before. I thought it was going to be this or Getting Better All the Time, because I think you took it for a thing, and it honestly is
feel good
song. One of the more positive songs.
It's We Can Work It Out. I remember hearing it probably during some point of being frustrated with somebody.
I mean, I know somebody where I couldn't and they didn't try to, so it's not always applicable, but yeah,
it's applicable to me. I'm saying it can't always be, it's not a two-way street. One time, Bill, you told me my opinion was wrong. So it can't
always. I was just being a dick then.
I understand. But I'm just saying, like, there are people I get. And listen, trust me, when I'm talking about social media and people are probably going to talk about later in this podcast, sometimes you can work things out and sometimes it ain't worth it. But when you do, it's about, I get frustrated a lot about things because I have a stubborn personality. And not that I think I'm right all the time. I'm just stubborn. It's not, you know, it's things you realize. And I like to sometimes drown myself with this song because it's like, try to see things your way. Maybe then I might like learn a little bit more and then, you know, be able to move forward together. That's really the message of the song. Song is so well written, gets no love whatsoever when it comes to the Beatles archive of music. Nobody really talks about it. I believe it was In My Life is like one of the most beautifully written songs of all time. Gets like so much credit. That and one other song that George Harrison, that you might take later. It's not on mine, but like this song gets none of it.
I personally believe it is the best song ever written. I think everyone should take a listen to it here and there when they're feeling frustrated or pissed at somebody. Like, calm down. It's okay if you didn't agree that Spider-Man 2 was a waste because Spider-Man 3 was coming out. It happens. It was a crap move. But like, just listen sometimes. Don't have to agree with people, but be like, all right, I see where they're coming from a little bit. I don't like it. I don't agree, but their opinion is worthy of said opinion.
No, I love this song. I was going to take it. I probably should have taken it to spite you earlier.
If you took this,
brought it up earlier.
If you took it, I was worried that I may have said it before, but
I forget what playlist you took it in, but you took it in another playlist battle. So I should have been a little bit wiser. Now, okay. I know you have a lot of Beatles deep cuts. I only have one. I'm going to take it now.
Oh, boy.
See if I'm nervous. I can steal it from you.
Okay.
And all I'll say to start is, all the money's gone, nowhere to go. I'll do anything for you?
Keep going.
All right, now. So it's from Abbey Road. It's Never Give Me Your Money. Yep. I think this song, again, it's a super relatable song. It kind of got like a little bit of a different vibe.
Yeah,
it's very like piano messed up. Yeah.
So, I never give you a piece of my
mind. Like, it's out of college. Like, it's just a very relatable song if you've ever had money troubles. And who fucking hasn't had money
Welcome
troubles?
To the world. Yeah, seriously.
So this is one of my, like, it's one of my deep cut Beatles songs. I'm sure people know it, obviously. But actually, I recently did, I don't know if you saw Goo's Instagram, but I did a photo shoot for his family, basically, where I photoshopped Raffy, his son, into every member of the Beatles along Abbey Road.
Awesome job. Awesome. And great idea by Goo. And then I saw a picture of like his father-in-law accepting the gift and like the smile on his face, dude. Like,
I imagine if you did something like that for your grant, like your dad, you want to do it with JJ?
I might. Well, I should have did it last year when it was turning 70. For a 71st, I should do something like that. But that's honestly like such an awesome idea. I don't know if I put you through the torture with my son, but.
I mean, your son's a little older, Raffy. Was an absolute, like, he was better than I would have been if I had to change into four. Like, suits putting on, like, just in general, putting on a suit sucks. Brutal. It sucks. Like, trying on a suit, putting on four of them as, like, a one-year-old. Brutal. And then having to, like, have me film him and make him walk kind of correctly.
I think Goo tweeted it. I think there's somewhere out there in the tweet. So if you do follow the Mac and Goo program, which I'm assuming you would, unless you're just a hater, which I understand that too, but we can work it out. But you, check that out. I think Goo posted that, or Billy, did an amazing job with that. Very, very cool stuff.
That's a good idea. This is an awesome song. I kind of want to start a business doing there was an episode of Modern Family where Cam took photos of Lily, the daughter, as different pop stars. So I'll come to your house. I'll bring the green screen and I'll Photoshop.
Honestly, you probably make some really decent money.
$200
just time, just a lot of time. All right, so I'll jump back in here. Going back to songs. By the way, great pick. I love seeing you come out with some. I didn't know where you were going there, so I was a little concerned because most of mine from here are in that balance of like. No, like, what doesn't matter? I'll go right into this one. It's another one, kind of deeper. You're gonna hear all the time. You're gonna lose that girl. Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl. You're gonna lose that girl. It's just a great melody. Again, this inspiration comes from Beach Boys because Beach Boys were doing a lot of that harmonies and melodies, a little bit different with higher voices where the Beatles weren't. I just find the song to be outstanding. It would be the fourth song on my playlist. Because basically I was just doing this whole love start to everything. Then things get a little bit tough for you, but Here Comes the Sun came after it. But You're Gonna Lose That Girl to me is just, it's one of my favorite Beatles songs. I just melodically to the rhythm of the guitar, again, the way the drums, everything kind of flows in the song. Puts a smile on my dumbass face, so I'll take it.
It's no Hold On Loosely, but yeah.
Very similar.
That's what I mean. Like, I heard that the other day and I was like, huh. That was one of the few songs I remember my dad liking as a kid.
Yeah.
Hold On Loosely. And was that 38 Special?
Yes.
Yeah. He liked that and the Spin Doctors.
I remember that. Oh, hell yeah. By the way, 38 Special was an audible for when we were, I don't know what flag football team at the time we were. But I think we were the Degenerates.
Fisher Cats?
No, it was when you were there because that was one of my audible calls when I was a very, very poorly played quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the two passes I threw, I think both got intercepted, much like my Madden. So I will go with what I think is the maybe not best written Beatles song, but the words of wisdom I would want to leave to somebody, and that's Let It Be.
Yeah. This one I had a lot of trouble with not putting on. But this
I think it's awesome probably movie. At this point, I don't know if there's a – is there a better one left for, like, big songs?
Yes, maybe? In my opinion, but I would say the only – it's not on my list. You might take it. I'm just going to throw it out there. Hey Jude is the only other one. But I put these songs very neck and neck because they're both very similar. But Let It Be, like, is so – beautiful. Like it is a beautiful song. And again, well constructed, not telling someone to get over it, not telling someone yelling at them. It's just like, hey, listen, things happen.
Speaking your words of wisdom.
Yeah. And the best part is it's telling you that everything happens for a reason without using those words. It says there will be an answer. So let it be. Like crap is happening right now. We've all been there. Don't freak out. Don't do anything out of character. Live your life. Yeah. You'll know why this happened.
And the Beatles have had a decently long arc where you've seen them as, kids to men, and the message, changed over time. And I think, you can impart wisdom from anything in life if you do it right. Books, music, movies, TV. Like, you don't have to always learn every lesson the hard way. You can kind of take it from something if you're smart enough. And, like, one of the best things you can ever do is, all right, let it be.
Feel you there. I'm going to jump in with my next one. This was actually the one other. I was like, this is on my variant list, but I'm pulling it in. And I think it's amazing. I think you were going to be, I thought you would have taken it by now, personally. It's I Saw Her Standing There.
Oh, I was. That's just, I mean, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I was going to say, I Want to Hold Your Hand in Birthday. Not that those fit, but like you kind of have that.
Similar.
This is in that Twist and Shout range too. I have a second one. Paul McCartney, incredible. Lyrical content, people will be like, oh, it's questionable because it says she was just 17. No, these guys were 16 years old, 18 years old when they wrote it. Get over it. Even though now it's a little bit tougher to hear that. But nonetheless, amazing song. Just punch over the face with that bubblegum pop. Just literally, like, this is the thing that I feel like would be awesome if our generation had was, like, we had dances when we were younger, right? Like, but imagine this song in, like, 1966 and you're at a dance and this one comes on. Holy T-I-T-S. Like, you are getting out there, grabbing a girl's hand, and you are like, we're dancing. Because that song is so fun and it just amazing stuff. Like, this was, like, what clubs were then, which were just, like, literally
this all the dance. This is the You a Big Fun Woman Wants You Back That Thing Up version.
It really is. That's next level. That's the modern day, Bill. They basically say, I saw her standing there and then back that thang up, as you know, the right version.
Yeah, take it over for the 99 and 2000.
That's literally, they are the polar, they're each other's distant cousins from 30 years.
Distant spirits.
That's it. We'll be
juvenile on the Beatles in the same sins.
Amazing. Only here on the Pop Culture Pile Driver.
All right, so I'm going to go with my 10 here. I'm going to go the White Album once again, and I'm going to go Helter Skelter, which I think, if I played, this is what I played a non-Beatles fan who was like 14, musician type, and they were like, this is the Beatles?
Yeah.
To me, it's just one of those songs, it kind of rocks your face off, even today. Like, oh, dude, when I get to the bottom, I go back to the top. Like, that is a great guitar riff. It's good hardcore, like, not hardcore, obviously, not like, but like, it's, it's not something I think if you just think of the Beatles one way that you would expect from them.
I always say, like, this is literally how I used to look at it in like the 2000s. If you were like a Foo Fighters fan, like, this was a song I'd toss at you because it like rocks but has a good melody, like, which I think Dave Grohl's always had a really good job at times. Like, not sometimes he screams, but like this song's right up because they're screaming in the song. There's legit like, and it's just heavy. It is as heavy
and the
as
guitar wail though.
Yes. No, great pick. And then that's another one that's like as big as it gets, because that's also carries over a lot of people, when all this stuff that happened with I was about to say George Marison, my lord, who's the murderer there in the 60s, the good looking guy, Charles Manson, that he used this song as like a big reason that he said like he heard this song and it made him go crazy. Good publicity stunt. But yeah, great song. So
isn't the one I got blisters on my fingers, is it?
No, that is
might be.
It's not gonna come to me right now, but not this. I'm just counting out how many songs I've taken. I believe this is my, is it my 10?
This will be my 11, so.
Oh, so I think it must be my 10, because I get one after you, because you had two at the beginning. Anyways, I will, ooh, so I get two more out of all these. I'm going to take, so I'm not going to take this, and not that we really do honorable mentions, but I was going to go with Good Day Sunshine. I already had Here Comes the Sun. Mm-hmm. I was going to take Gotta Get You Into My Life, very similar songs, but I'm actually going to take, I'm going to go with Oh Darling. It is a song by Paul McCartney. Again, I'm a big McCartney fan. A lot of these come in, but this song is another one of this very dramatic, like, just like, don't leave me, please. Like, just everything about this song, it reminds me of a lot of, I think this song might have also been used on Sesame Street once for the letter O. But I know You Got a Hold on Me by Smokey Robinson wasn't. It still scares me to this day. Do you remember that scene?
I don't.
So, like, the letter U wouldn't let Smokey Robinson go. It was like, you really got a hold. I remember being
terrified. It's a great fucking song.
It is. But as a child, to this day.
And you don't think, like, if I heard it today and never heard the Beatles, I would, like, they covered this.
Oh, yeah. It seems like this song, Oh Darling, has, like, similarities to that. Yeah. That's why I bring it up. But that song literally creeps me out because I think about that. It was literally like sexual harassment on Sesame Street because it just wouldn't let him go. It was, like, grabbing his leg and. Did you ever see the movie Labyrinth by chance?
With David Bowie?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where there's these creatures that want to take off Jennifer Connelly, the young star in the movie, her head. And that's another scene that scares me to this day. Like, they're trying to pluck, because their head comes off. They think hers. I don't like it. I don't like Muppets. Right? I'm going to say, the Muppets freak me out. I'm scared of Muppets. So anywho, yeah, Oh Darling will be my 10th pick. A great kind of sad-er and bluesier song from the Beatles. So Bill, what will wrap up your playlist?
All right, so we'll go to honorable mentions, obviously, after we pick the last two here.
Yeah,
I'm going to go, I don't think it's necessarily off the board.
Don't do it.
I have more that I could take.
If you take this song, it actually will hurt me because it's a perfect ending playlist.
It is a pretty good ending song. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I will pay it. And it is I Will. Who knows how long I've loved you. To me, this one is like a, it's again another beautifully easy written song. It's just, you know, if you've ever liked, loved somebody, it fits, it hits you in the feels. I think it's a perfect, I don't think I picked them in the order that I would do them, but like if it was an ending song. This is a pretty good ending song.
It is. I like it. I thought I was a little worried you would go with like Along a Winding Road a little bit because that literally could be a perfect ending song or Get Back.
Should have taken that. It's a whammer.
It's the final song on the final Beatles album. Yeah. I thought that would be something. I didn't go that route either. I went with, I think, again, the best message. I it's not my favorite song by them, but I think literally the best message you can deliver to people. What again, the world. Anytime, doesn't matter if it was written in 1966, doesn't matter, or 67, this was, or if it was comes out tomorrow. All you need is love.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This world goes around, and it's a badass tune with crazy horn section. Just amazing horns in this song. But all you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. It's just simple. And did you go to the show with us in Vegas? I always forget.
Yes, I was just about to bring this up.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, I don't know if they've done it anywhere else. They've probably done it other than Vegas. But, you know, people, I always say, yeah, I've been to Vegas 7 or 8 times now because of work conferences and bachelor parties, including my own. But
I missed that one.
You did.
I knew.
They called your name on the plane, though.
I knew.
So, like, you can go to Vegas, not go to a strip club, not go to a casino, and have the time of your fucking life because, like, it is – it's got shows. It's got fucking – dining, it's got
pools, so much. I never thought I would have so much fun in Vegas.
It's great, and it's one of the cheapest trips you can take. And true. The Beatles show, I forget what casino was at. It might have been at the
Bellagio.
No, it was at one of the ones where they have all the fights, MGM, I believe.
Okay,
and it was probably besides like a really good musical that I've seen, like on Broadway, the best show I've ever seen.
It was. Outstanding. It was outstanding, a show. Like, it just, and what was it? I now I'm all of a sudden forgetting what it's called.
Love? Might have been Love.
Something like that. Might have been called Love. Maybe you're right. But either way, it was just an amazing show. Cirque du Soleil, incredible. The way that they do the visuals in that, like, you think people, like, they change the screen on the floor, the back. Like, I wasn't on any, you know, extracurriculars there or whatever it's called, but I think some of our friends were.
Love.
And okay, Love. Okay. And is it still in Vegas now?
I don't know, but I'm planning to go to Vegas soon, so we'll find out.
I might be going in February, so.
I will go with you, and it's still at the Mirage. It's at the Mirage. I will go to Vegas at the drop of a hat with anybody, and we're going to Money in the Bank, which is in Vegas. That's happening.
We were going to SummerSlam, and that didn't happen because of stupid golf. And I
would have been there if not for that. One, I will say, might be last minute. WrestleMania is in play.
It's going to happen. It will happen. Let's just get over this. Yeah, it's going to happen, dude.
As WrestleMania 28 was big time by
22.
Phil Collins.
No, by
Sledgehammer guy.
Yeah. Well, now you Peter Chuck
Gabriel. The monkey.
Peter Gabriel. So those are our lists. Let's run them down real quick, Bill. What is your 11?
All right. So number one, Back in the USSR. Two, Come Together. Three, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Four, Day in the Life. Five, Birthday. Six, Hard Day's Night. Seven, All the Monies. Oh, I didn't actually write that down, what the actual name of the song was. I forget what it was. But what about money? You never give me money. Let It Be, Helter Skelter, and I Will.
I went with I've Just Seen a Face. It Won't Be Long in My Life. You're Gonna Lose That Girl. Here Comes the Sun. We Can Work It Out. I Saw Her Standing There. Oh, Darling, Twist and Shout, and All You Need Is Love. We will post this. You can vote at Pop Culture PD. Give you some time. We'll make some fancy little graphics. By we, I mean you. I think we crushed this one, though. This was a ton of fun. Nothing better to start the year by talking about the Beatles and still digging into the 6 hours of Get Back on the old Disney Plus. Have you finished or started or whatever?
I haven't. You know what? I did start the first 25 minutes, and then I was like, I'm going to go to bed and watch it during the break. And then I watched what I will talk about in Out of My Mind. Oh, yeah, I'm a bit out of my mind, though.
We lots doing since we talked about earlier, but just quick hits before we talk about what we've been watching, what we've been listening to. R.I.P. to Betty White and John Madden. God. Two separate legends dying. So this does happen in threes, right? Are we on the verge of somebody else here?
I hope it's not another legend. I hope it's nobody.
That's I feel like it's gotta be though. This feels like these are biggies.
And I mean, smalls. So Betty White, I've loved her. Since I thought Golden Girls was awesome when I was a kid.
Yeah,
much like Keith, who talked about it earlier and like a bunch of things, WEI and Dork. You know, I watched it, like you probably watched it with your sisters. It was always on.
I will say this. I have trouble watching, like there was that Frankie and something show on Netflix about I'm like, nah, I don't have no interest in this. But
my girl, June Diane Raphael, I think she produces that. But yeah, it was like the older lady stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not interested in that now. But when I was a kid, for some reason, Golden Girls, it was just hilarious. And it was
I still remember St. Olaf. To this day, I can say St. Olaf, which the town Rose was from. Rose was not my favorite character. Actually, she might have been my least favorite, because I don't know if you can have a least favorite from Golden Girls. But Blanche was awesome. Dorothy was fucking unbelievable. And Estelle Getty, I fucking, off the top of my head, I forget what her name was on the show.
I don't know. I just called her Ma.
But like that show was one of the first shows. And they even showed something today about, basically gay rights that they were on point about in 1980 something. Yeah, so like that show was way ahead of its time. It was super funny. And she was one of the linchpins. Mary Tyler Moore show she was huge in. She was on the radio in the 1940s. She made guest appearances on like The Simpsons. She made one of my favorite guest appearances on a sitcom on Community. Superstar. And then John
Monday Night Raw. Come on.
I mean, literally a legend. Yes. And then John Madden has surprisingly played one of the biggest roles in my life. So I brought Madden. I was one of the people that helped bring Madden streams to DraftKings, still going on to this day. And Madden 94, hands down, my favorite game, the game I've probably played besides the current Maddens, most. Randall Cunningham was nasty in that game. I remember being able to return kicks with Deion Sanders and the Atlanta Falcons. You could literally just run, like you could run for as long as you want. Nobody could catch him. It was such a fun game. Name is now synonymous with Madden. You go back and watch his old clips. like the Frank Caliendo stuff, making fun of him or honoring him, all of it's great. He was one of a kind, and I got to enjoy a little bit of his color commentating. You know, I think his last game was the Steelers Cardinals Super Bowl. Favorite Super Bowl ever to watch because I wasn't a Patriot. Like, I'm a Patriots fan. It was a murder. So he was just so much fun at all times. I mean, Sean Madden.
It's just to go to it. Like, he only coached for, like, I think it was 9 or 10
years.
10 years, which is not
highest long. Winning percentage of all time in the regular season and a Super Bowl.
Which is not long in the archive, like in the annals of time. And you think about, like, oh, why? How is he this legendary? Then he became a broadcaster, and the way he broke things down, he had a very distinct voice. He also teamed up with Pat Summerall. You had like a robot with like a blubbering robot. It was very bizarre.
But
you
also have like the, I think guys who are big should be like 77. And guys who are little should be like 11. Like, he had these like weird theories. Like, he would be a TikTok superstar if he was 20 years old today. Because of the way he's just so endearing to you. His kind of style is timeless.
He's just so good. Him. He was great, and you know, I thought John Gruden, who's now like canceled, but like I thought he was going to be
a little bit,
because he had a lot of the same thing, because they talk kind of have this thing about
their football. Dennis Eckersley, I think the three greatest color commentators of all time in order: Bobby the Brain Heaton, John Madden, Cedric Maxwell. Because are uniquely them. Like, I think Cedric Maxwell, if he was given the national stage, could be the next Madden. Because, like, Madden was just like him. Yeah. And Cedric Maxwell, if you've ever listened to him, is just him.
Oh, yeah.
Is this like something about those certain people who just are uniquely them?
Oh, yeah. He's got great calls. But the thing about Madden, and obviously as a Patriots fan, as you mentioned, in a very famous when the Patriots against the Rams. Oh, I got to take a knee here. I got to take a chance at overtime. Then, obviously, Tom Brady did his thing, and legendary call from Madden as well. What the first?
And he even said afterwards, like, "Wow, I was wrong."
Yeah, like, I wouldn't have done it. You mentioned it. You could be 12 years old, or you could be 82 years old, and you know who John Madden is for one reason or another. And John Madden will live on. His legacy is going to last unless something horrible in his name changes. But
Here's the like greatest guy ever.
I'm sure, but they'll always say that about a lot of people, and you find out.
Yeah,
my point here is, I demand EA Sports get it together right now. And I think this is happening. I think next
100%.
Year they are going to make the best game, and not like a fan service crap they try to do this year. I think they're going to put together an actually great game next year because of this. Because now they're going to have a real opportunity to re-engage with the audience of the past. People that don't play anymore, that wouldn't buy it. Like, I think putting his face on that cover and putting out probably having some commentary by him, maybe a version. Oh, yeah. Like, I think they need to. This is such an opportunity for EA Sports that they could become like the billion-dollar game again.
So Davey made the point, and it was brilliant. So many people know Madden, whether they know it or not. Because there are people like my nephew who is 15, has no idea who John Madden is. Not a clue. He wasn't even born when I think he called his last game. So he has no idea who the actual person is.
Both of my nephews.
I don't say NHL, MLB, like the show, MLB the show, Chell. It is Madden. It's Madden. And the other thing that they did, and Davey pointed out, and I'll get to the bad part of Davey in a second, but like, I learned a lot of football from listening to his commentary and then like playing the game, learning the position, learning the formations, learning the route trees and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's a part of like me right now. Like, that it's Madden is forever a thing and will be until, you know, civilization is no, like, as we know it is.
Or video games are somehow different. But I agree with you. And it also, like you, Bill, you made a company a lot of money. You made me money.
Yeah, you commented.
I made a lot of money by just doing this over a Madden game. But, and like you just said, like, it is something very important that, like, I learned. The only thing I really can say I definitely learned was, like, how to detect a defense in playing Madden. So then when I watch football sometimes, I'm a big line guy because I'm a nerd, but I don't tweet about it like other people. But, like,
guard, I would have never known.
I just looked sometimes. I'm like, okay, if I put this tight in motion and you see a guy follow me, like, oh, that's man. But then you'll notice, like, one linebacker doesn't shift a little, oh crap, they're trying to hide. This is a zone. It's a cover two.
Got
to hit
single high safety. What do we got?
Yeah, like honestly, but I never would have known that. I know we're talking about the video game, but the man gets the credit behind it because he is the driving force. If it was called like quarterback club, there was a game like that that I used to play. That went out the window.
Oh, I loved it. I did love it. Because yeah, like but, the competition of the quarterback club where you'd hit the moving targets, so much fun. Riddle Cunningham was also amazing in that game. Quickly before we move on to anything else, Davey.
Hold on.
The podcast.
We have a wide variety of gene picks.
Gene's trash.
I'm Gene.
Gene's Picks, brought to you by Ryan Davey. If you want something bad, you know where to look.
So we love Davey. We love Dork. They recently did the Dorkies, which we'll get to in the This Week in Dork. But they nominated the best podcasts of the year.
I thought we were robbed, Bill. I thought we were going to get it. I thought we were close.
We lack a little bit of the consistency that some of the
I know, but I think that's what makes us good. I think that's what makes us good.
What makes us different makes us great.
I think that really, like, people can catch up on the episodes much easier.
And at first, I didn't know who exactly he was talking about, because he could have been talking about us as well, where he was like, when they review five-year-old shows that nobody watched. And I was like, huh. And then I was like, oh, he's talking about fucking them Pineapple Boys. He's talking about fucking I've Heard It Both Ways. The most unassuming, didn't hurt anyone podcast.
Never once have said anything as an
nothing.
Barely even know it's there unless you know it's there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way.
Two good guys helping everybody out. Who's nicer than Dr. Joe? I think I'm a pretty nice guy. And just an absolute...
For no reason. And then
no reason. You could have taken a shot at anyone else.
Yeah, anyone easy. Else. And it would have been funny. And it would have been funny. It just came across.
You took a shot at us, PCP, warranted.
Oh, yeah, go for it. All
you took a shot anything involving Dr. Joe, I have a problem.
Well, here's what I'll say. You do a lot for the podcast that people know or don't
in
know.
In general, all of them.
Yeah, visually or other, musically, or putting things together, backgrounds, all that stuff. Then Dr. Joe is like, before there was a Dork Shared Gooniverse, he was like the biggest listener to all of these things. When it was just Rossi on Wrestling.
He's our personal hype man.
He was. He really is. Like, he would be on stage if there was a big show and get into this video game thing. And
he's the guy in the Boss Tones that just dances next to the lead singer.
Yeah, just like wailing. But to take a shot, and then the thing that I found funny, so I listened, because when you point out the time step, I'm like, screw it, I'm going to listen. I found like I was like what I said about your show when we would, you know, we usually really was on the Pop Culture Pile Driver thing. I'm like, this, I just don't think this really makes any sense. You guys put out something, you're going to get listens directly to that because you're such a niche thing. We talked about it a lot, we set it up. I helped set you guys up. You guys do a great job with that because it is just,
we get a decent amount of listens.
I'm sure you do. And but the point is, whether you get 50 listens, 2 listens, 1 million listens, you're serving a singular audience. And I love that Keith ended up, because I thought this was going to go an ugly path and I was going to get emotional about it because that's what I do. And I don't need that in my life. But like Keith was like, yeah, there's something to it. And then David kind of like backtracks. Like, yeah, man, there is true. Like maybe we'll turn it. And then they went to the whole like Fraggle Rock thing, which is cool.
I do like the puppet idea.
I hate puppets. They scare me. But
I didn't see the Murder Time Mysteries till recently.
I can't watch it. I literally put on for 10 minutes and I was out. It was.
I saw it at our buddy's house, Kaylin and Zach's. And I found out where the puppet gift came from.
Were you high at least?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm telling you, Bill, that's a bad movie. He's a bad movie, Bill. You got to dump that.
You got to dump it, girl. but yes. So I have something that will fix Davey's wagon, I think, if I can get it done this week.
Ooh, all right. All right. So aside from fixing Davey's wagon, a bunch of stuff, Bill, since
I actually have something that I have been watching.
Yeah. So let me just quickly, I don't know if any of these relate to yours, but I'll just run through. I finally saw Squid Game. Wow.
Dude. You got to do an episode. I don't care if it's late.
Yeah, I don't care either. Like, I really don't. That show, so compelling. Grab me. Who was your girl? Was it the...
67. Oh, 67. Yeah.
I remember you posting something on Instagram, and I didn't want to look because I didn't want to know. It was so, it had no reason to be as good as it was. It really,
you know, she's a model.
I never, none of that stuff shocks me. They always do this. Like,
she's like a world famous, like, Gap, and like she does all the big modeling things. She's like taller than me. She is just an absolute,
gorgeous woman. Now that you say it, I know a Gap, like, either commercial ad with an Asian woman.
She's, like, she's strikingly gorgeous.
But that's what they chose to do. It's so...
But, like, I wouldn't have known that. And, like, she's a phenomenal actress. The whole show, I mean, I talked to one of my buddy, you know, from Greenfield, our buddy Barry. He was like, I had a feeling the whole time that guy was in on it. But, like, For the most part, it was so unique, so different. I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and it was one of my, I think it finished second in the Dorkies. It was one of my favorite shows I've seen in a long time.
I was going to say, I have to really do a deep, because there's another show I watch. Well, I'll segue this because these are two shows I banged out back to back. Watch True Story with Kevin Hart. Have you seen that?
No.
Worth a watch. What? Wesley Snipes. He's back, baby. Oh. I'll just say that. I won't say anything else. I watched Don't Look Up.
I heard it was, for many people, excellent. And then I heard from other people, meh.
So I don't get into politics, Bill, because I don't really care. Mm-hmm. No, I shouldn't say I don't care. I care, but I don't care to argue with people. And I don't really care to say, oh, I think this. I think this is a really political thing. If you
sit on
one side, or it's like a Trump thing. It's like a Trump thing. But like, if you can laugh at things, cool. Actually, speaking about this, I was in a little bit of like a Twitter thing with our friend Tara Lynn, who has occasionally listened to the pod, bought some merch in the past. I think we're no longer friends because she took offense to something I said, Bill. You know what I said? Come on. That's what I said. And then I said, like, come on. Like, she basically, I said that I thought it was good because she said, like, it's one of the worst movies. Don't even watch it. I fell asleep 20 minutes in. So I tweeted her saying, should I finish this? And she says, nope, don't waste your time. Enjoy your life, something. So then I did watch it because Courtney wanted to watch it. I'm like, cool, let's get it. And we finished it. I said, wow, this is surprising. Like, Jonah Hill's friggin' hilarious.
I've heard there's phenomenal acting performance.
Dude, it's
more than just DiCaprio.
Oh yeah, like this is so good. I think it's really good. I'm almost like, they should almost be mad that it's a Netflix movie. This should be out. Like, I know theaters are here.
That's another theory that people had, that if you have this many actors, why wasn't it in the theaters? But that's what Netflix deal needs to do.
Yeah.
That's what I think Netflix is doing better than a lot of these streaming services, is they're providing stuff that nobody else, for the most part, save a few huge things, is providing. Like, HBO is still HBO. Hulu will come up with like a Palm Springs here or there. Yeah, but like, they're not providing like the Squid Game type of. And they have a bunch of other ones like Stranger Things that have hit in the past. So credits to Netflix for doing this and just
Ozark's
doing it
coming back. Like, there's a lot of excitement with Netflix. But anyways, but this movie is like worth it. But she ends up eventually, she ends up posting the Rotten Tomato score. So I just said, come on, like, people like
you should post Metacritic and then Google.
That was my point. And then she wrote this thing like, how don't lower yourself to saying, come on, like, we're having a conversation whether you like it or not. And so I was like, whoa, what is
$6,300 pants? Come on.
Yeah. So I ended up sending a reply, being like, when I say come on, I mean like, yeah, goofball. Like, I don't mean it. She's like, this is a very offensive or something. I'm like, come on is offensive. Yeah. I quit Twitter. That was the first time I was actually not so friend, a friend of the podcast, Adam Kaufman, saw this. And I said, he texted me something. And I just said, I think I need to shut off the internet. This is the first time I'm shutting off the internet. Like, I have no beef. This is a woman's an absolute delight. Tara Lynn, follower. She is awesome. Like, very kind, great girl. And like, but I was like, it was just serious. Like, you know who I am. I know who you are. You think I would be like Twitter passive aggressive? Like, yeah, it was just weird. But I found that out. So I won't use such offensive terms, and be careful when you use the term. Come on.
Switching gears, I saw MacGruber. I watched it all in one night, but the last episode, because it, like, by the way, Peacock, still the worst streaming service in the history of mankind. So I went to go watch the last episode at around 2 a.m. a few nights ago, probably New Year's Eve. I think I was watching it in New Year's Day. And the last episode just like went to black at like 3 minutes in and just wouldn't play. But I will say, like, I loved the movie, and I was like, how are they going to make this into the show? They did a really good job, and I was either delighted, laughing out loud, or disgusted the whole time, and it was hilarious. And from now on, there's a kid at my work I will call Checkers till the day I die. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, come on, Checkers. And then they ask you, well, why are you calling you Checkers? It's like, well, we're playing chess. You're playing Checkers.
That's a good line.
Fucking hysterical. MacGruber
ain't me. It ain't
for
me. That's another movie I couldn't. Like, I tried. Really? This is obviously before I knew Keith is like an obsession with and all that. But I just was like, dude, that is a hard watch. Like, Keith goes, like, for me, it's just, we're different personalities. Like, those are some hard watch. Like, I quit watchings.
I would watch it again, maybe get drunk or high. Because it is, God, like, the first time I saw it, honestly, was before we did the MCU MacGruber thing. I had never seen it. So I saw it for the first time, like, 2 or 3 years, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, just a tough film.
Maybe it's because I watched it with a few people too. Maybe it's like a group thing, but I don't know, the sex scenes and the...
It's over the top. I get there's the audience. I just didn't even think the SNL skits were good. Like, I didn't find anything
about it. I just love his kind of lispy kind of, I don't know.
Don't forget, also, MacGruber was a guest host on Monday Night Raw.
Was he really?
When they promoted that movie. Google that after, Bill. One of the worst episodes of Raw, too. Last thing I will just say, Bill, bow down to him. Bow down to the king. I have won our fantasy football league.
Oh, my God.
Not a showy type of guy, but I just need to say it because I did it front to back.
Though, and like you are the most consistent player in our league, and you took home the second title.
I did. Took 10 years to get back to this crown. And I will just say, watching the Bengals Chiefs game, which the person I was going against had.
I said Burrow, in my head, if that game was a shootout, there's no way you're winning unless.
That's what I think we've talked about this. I never look at fantasy scores throughout the day, not till after the 4 o'clock games. I'm never looking. I just, it's something I do for whatever. I just don't like to get wrapped up in it like that. I like to enjoy football. Mm-hmm. But I was watching that game, and Joe, obviously, I have Jamar Chase, who set a rookie record. It was unbelievable. But I still was nervous because I'm like, he's getting all these points from his quarterback. Quarterbacks do get a ton of points. I know I'm going to outscore him there, but.
And in our league, quarterbacks get 6 per touchdown.
Yeah. So I was really concerned. Then at the end of the game, when he threw one to like Joe Mixon, who he also had, I was starting to crap my pants. But little did I know the whole time I was absolutely destroying him and got him.
I mean, we don't talk sports. Nobody really talks sports in DSG, but like the Jamar Chase game was like, all right, this kid is next level special. That touchdown he had where he ran away from everyone. I got to make the video where it's like, like he does that and the super bad cuz he's fast. He's the best kid alive. Like,
honestly,
he fucking flew. I've never seen anybody just like take fucking off. And he took off.
And he didn't even look like, you know, like we've seen hard. Randy Moss. We've seen guys with those long strides. He just is like almost like a little bit like Tyreek Hill speed, but like Tyreek Hill, like he's the weird height for that speed, Jamar Chase. He's probably like 6'1", 6'2". He just looked like gone. And the thing about the Bengals that's funny about this, 1 week earlier, another guy on his team, T. Higgins, had 198 yards. This team is just striking at the right time, and it's those are fun things to watch, like in sports, like when you don't care about the team, like
the Carson Palmer Bengals from when we started this league 17 years ago, where they have Rudy Johnson, a good young quarterback, 2 great wide receivers, and a pretty good tight end.
Yeah,
although they have 3 great wide receivers.
I think
Tyler Boyd is pretty good.
They have the best receiving core in the league right now. It's tough to argue that, I think, especially with the Bucs having a guy storm off the field, which I think whatever you do to Davey, he might do that next week. But, Bill, hell of an episode here. We will post up the Beatles playlist. Anything else, Bill? I forgot. I wasn't even.
We'll do this week in the DSG real quickly. They all did year in reviews, TLDR talk books.
Yep.
And I think we're on a hiatus for the MCU at home.
Yeah, so I just have a question about that. So I've not finished Hawkeye yet. I did see Spider-Man.
Oh, you haven't finished it? It's amazing.
No, but I'm really looking forward to it. I do know a little bit of it because the internet has been tough on me. So I do know that Black Widow's sister shows up. Actually, I'm in on that.
That was like episode 4.
No, I've seen through 4. I think it's like the last 2. One of the last 2. But either way, I'm excited for it. I think that show is just really well done. I think there was some voting about like shows of the year, and WandaVision by far is it. That's the other thing I was going to say. I think
we are the WandaVision podcast.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Dude, that show it was the only time we actually had a segment for one. We talked about that.
We are the Wives podcast, and I feel like all the wives of the DSG also liked WandaVision.
We are. That is true.
We're in touch with our feminine side more than
this is podcast. All right. Nobody else is breaking down music like that. I'm just saying. You get much more different style. But I want to say I saw Spider-Man No Way Home. Really strong movie.
Bananas.
A little long, gonna be honest. A lot of story in there. Reminded me a little bit of Spider-Man 3, which I loved, by the way. And I think you saw that with me the day it came out. My favorite Spider-Man to this day. But that this movie was awesome. And the one thing I'm gonna say, I just need to say this because in like a public forum, people like absolutely love Andrew Garfield and thought he was like loved amazing. Him. He was good, but I just feel like the internet, I didn't think he was bad or anything, but I feel like
I was captivated. He was so natural and like I think Mac or somebody said he was effortlessly like he was effortlessly the character. Like, I thought Tom Holland was like, okay, this is Spider-Man, and he's the young Spider-Man for sure. But when he came on the screen and he was so effortlessly like, I'm not gonna do that, like about to, like doing yeah. anything, and like the saving the other MJ, like everything that he did, I was like, I think they said it about Yelena in another podcast. He's just delightful. He was just so.
I think he wanted character most, and I
did. He felt like it was like a comeback, like because they even did like the "Say you're awesome." Say yeah. you're awesome. Like yeah, they
amazing.
Knew
that like, it was amazing. That was the best amazing. Part. Say you're amazing. Yeah. Ah.
Like, they knew he wasn't the Spider-Man out of the two, out of the yeah. three. So they were like, and I think he knew that. But like, he's such a good. I think he's such a good actor, and that was just like, all right. I would like another. Give me another Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, I think I assume we're going to get, but I will say it was 2 hours of just fan, like, hey, you're a fan of comic books. Are you know stuff about this franchise?
I don't mind that, though.
No, me either. No, I thought that was a good thing.
Because I thought it was worked in seamlessly.
Yeah, I will just say the reason my Andrew Garfield thing is I still don't like those movies, and I love Tobey Maguire. I think Tobey Maguire is, and I was hoping there'd be more from the Tobey Maguire character aside from him being, like, the wise old man, which I don't care what anybody says. He doesn't look old. The dude doesn't look old. Like, not that old.
No.
But I really enjoyed it overall. I'm really excited for, like,
fish a little bit.
Yeah, he's just there. He's just Tobey Maguire. He's just there. Like, I don't know how to say it, but, like, it gave me so much nostalgia. My only letdown was that we didn't get Hero, as I mentioned in the chat. Like, how do we not get Nickelback and Josie Scott's Hero? Just at one, like, as he arrived, like, you knew he was coming. Talk about an awkward entrance, by the way. But, like, you knew he was coming.
I would have liked to re-gay Iglesias as Hero.
Oh man, well that's a whole man. That's as long as you get the Jennifer Love Hewitt music video with it, oh. set. But either way, good movie. Really, it kind of got me re-excited for like the movies of the MCU because I did not like Black Widow, and every time I see, I don't know what maybe, you know, whatever. Everyone has a matter of opinion, but every time I see like Davey or Dorks and Mac and Goose ranking stuff, I see Black Widow much higher in movies. I'm like,
I liked it.
I just feel like that movie was like, why did we do this? This did. Nothing. I thought we were going to get like all the storyline with her and Hawkeye in the past because you know Hawkeye movies come. I just feel like that movie was just kind of there.
Yeah, well, I liked it. You'll like the end of Hawkeye. Yeah, I think you'll like the end of Hawkeye though.
I'm already excited.
Maybe not because you didn't like Black Widow, but.
But it's not that I didn't like it. I was just surprised how much people liked it compared to other things that were out. But obviously.
And last thing, real quickly, Peacemaker, I think comes out like next week.
Is it really next week?
I think it's next week.
Oh, that movie, that's going to be awesome.
We might have to do a Peacemaker episode.
Side pods? Yeah, I'm down. Dude, John Cena, listen, that's where the wrestling stuff, I still think we got to do, like, wrestling, like, actors. Like, we got to do, like, we basically have so far with most of the big ones. We did a Suicide Squad, we did a Guardian, so.
January 13th, Peacemaker. So
so you're going to have, well, we have Scream.
9 days.
Okay, so we could do
like we'll a just do thing. The end of Peacemaker. I don't think it's coming all out at once, but we can do like we did with I did with the Mandalorian with updates, non spoiler, spoiler free, and then do a whole review because I think that one Dork's best character, and he was fucking
wait, Peacemaker won Dork's best character. I didn't hear
in
that
in a movie. He was so good.
I think John Cena. This was no, people like remember when Rob Gronkowski was going to do movies. Everyone's like, "Oh, he can make it like everybody else." Like Arnold. I don't see it right, and I didn't see this for John Cena. His
no, story. I never saw. This
I thought he was a
I
real
thought he was going to be the what was the Amy mind. Schumer movie?
Oh yeah, movie? It's two words. I can't think of it right now, but this is like what we used to do with NXT wrestlers. Like we don't know the names.
Trainwreck.
There you go. One word.
I think that's one word. But I thought he would be like the character actor, like Big Daddy style, just show up, do one thing. I never thought he could carry a full. I never thought he'd be The Rock. But I think he does. I think he can do a little slightly more than The Rock because I can never. And I think all the podcasts have said it. I can't see The Rock as like a love interest ever.
I don't know.
Did you watch Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
I don't know, but seeing him
doing a little more.
In Ballers, I don't know if you watched the show Ballers. He wasn't like, it was a really good show. The Rock was great in that show. I just didn't see, like, it didn't
The Rock's always great.
That's the thing. So I think he could do it. I think he actually could. It's just all about the writing of it, but.
He's not a human. Not that Cena looks
like I was just going to say, Cena looks actually more bizarre than he does in a lot of ways. But either way, I'm excited for this, Bill. I think this is great for John Cena. I actually think this is really good for WWE, as he did his last run leading into SummerSlam. As they were promoting, you know, he had a little bit of break. They'll probably have one more maybe this year, maybe or beginning of next year. I think it's really good for a lot of things. And I think John Cena just has that, like, real, like, and potentially lovability like The Rock has. Mm-hmm. I think that he just has that, like, look and factor to him. So I think the show is going to be a hit.
Magnanimous, I think, is the word. He just commands your attention on the screen. And he would, I think, if he was 100 pounds soaking wet. He's just a personality.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. So yeah, definitely into that. We got Scream podcasts coming up. We'll probably do a preview.
We have to go see that together, by the way.
I'm in. My birthday's coming up, just so you know. So that could be, there's a lot. I think we'll do a little outing. I'm going to text a couple people. But anyways, point is, so we got some Scream content coming up. We'll have that. There was a couple other ideas that don't matter. We talked about this. This podcast is going to wait too long, but for some reason I don't feel bad about it for once. Usually I'm way beyond anxiety at this point. give me a sedative. But to wrap it up, we will be doing consoles. So I think for 2022, one of the goals will be at least one a season. So this will be our quote unquote winter, if you will, or Q1. I think we start off, we could talk about it, but basically the major systems. There's Nintendo. Yeah, that's what I would say. So we're going to rally the whole DSG. So we're going to have a 4 podcast basically console off, where you're going to have to pick 11 games from each console. We'll give all the rules and regulations of what those games, like, they'll have to be certain categories, a couple of wild cards. But you'll have Dork versus Pop Culture Pile Driver versus Change My Mind versus Mac and Goo. We'll get Dr. Joe and Shime involved, one probably as a host, one as a commentator, maybe making comments after all the picks or after each round of picks, kind of in like a side host. This will be obviously hosted by us here at the Pop Culture Pile Driver, but maybe this could be something, if we find success and we enjoy each other's company down the line, if time's right, that could be a good live show. I think that could be something that could be.
So I'm going to call this as the first DSG collaborative live show for the next, I think you should leave season. We draft episodes. I think you should leave as podcasts.
You don't think the video game one would be bigger, Bill?
No, I think that would be a nice live show for all of us to have.
I think us we would enjoy, but I think like if you were to go to somewhere and did like a Nintendo 64 thing, like you would give
all right. So first Nintendo 64 in like April, that'll be a pre WrestleMania live show.
Well, and whatever. Then
the draft. You should leave episodes for episodes between the four.
By the way, just want to know, one of my goals is to do a live show for us, at least, like maybe it's, if we're not going to WrestleMania, even if before that, somewhere around the time at the Kowloon. That's one of my goals this year. Just a live show. Yeah. We need to have something, because I've talked on a stage at Kowloon once, which is cool, like to introduce comedy stuff, but I want to do a show there before that thing, doors close.
Yeah, I'm in.
That's one of my goals. Anyways, all right. Last thing I will just say, wrestling content coming, some Rossi wrestling stuff. We will also have our Royal Rumble pool. So I'll be reaching out to some of the normal peoples on that. We'll have some fun. That's about on January 29th, my dad's B-Day. But yeah, so if you are a listener of this, you want to get in on that, just hit me up. Slide in them DMs. Billy's DMs are always open at BillyE2411, BillyD2411 on the IG. He can throw all that weird hand gestures. I've seen it before. It's open. And aside from that, Bill, any fine words for our fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.